We could spend all day saying thank you to those who support WSHU with financial contributions. I'm WSHU reporter Ebon Udama. And one way I say thank you is by covering Connecticut political news to help you stay connected and informed. Your financial support is the lifeblood of the WSHU newsroom. Thank you for making this trusted resource available to our community. We're expanding our world together.
Clean air advocates in New York want to redefine the threshold for a state disaster declaration. Legislation that previously passed the state Senate would add hazardous air quality to the list of events that could invoke an emergency action plan. Max Michaeliff is with the American Lung Association. He says this authority would have given state officials greater power to respond to the effects of Canadian wildfires in recent years.
There are some people that say, well, we already have air contamination as a state definition of a disaster, but unfortunately, by law, that does not include wildfires and industrial emission spikes because we see climate change fueled wildfires as a natural disaster. So that's not included in what we consider pollution.
If enacted, a disaster declaration could allow for rapid deployment of funding and smoother coordination between government officials. This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. A revamp of Bridgeport's East End hits a roadblock. A handful of Long Island hospitals could reduce service due to federal cuts. Plus, Connecticut considers more oversight over homeschooling families. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. A long-delayed redevelopment project in Bridgeport is once again stalled as it faces more financial issues. WSHU's Shelley Hessman-Kadish reports the developer got $3.5 million from the state 3 years ago. Now it says it needs more.
Ashlar Construction says it's made progress on a project to revitalize a block in the city's East End. Buildings are up and a bank has been operating since October. But according to Hearst Connecticut Media, the Honey Locust Project has repeatedly grappled with budget problems. The project began in 2018, and the developer blamed the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic for delays. In 2023, the developer got $3.5 million from the state and nearly $1 million from the city. The company says it's now in debt by more than $400,000. The project lead says he's fundraising to get enough money to finish this summer. The state and city have said they're not considering providing additional money to the project. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Three hospitals on Long Island may have to reduce services due to federal cuts in Medicaid funding. That's according to a report from the watchdog group Public Citizen. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
The hospitals most affected by the Medicaid cuts in last year's federal tax cut bill are Mercy Medical Center in Rockville Center, Stony Brook University Hospital, and Nassau University Medical Center. The report says the hospitals will be forced to cut services or staff if the state doesn't make up for the loss in federal funding. The CEO of Nassau University Medical Center tells Newsday the Medicaid funding cuts, which total almost $1 trillion over 10 years, will disproportionately hurt low-income families, seniors, and people with disabilities. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The U.S. House of Representatives is expected to vote this week on whether to reauthorize a controversial foreign intelligence law. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports it's got Connecticut's U.S. Representative Jim Himes in hot water with some of his voters.
The Federal Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, dictates how the U.S. monitors non-citizens on American soil. Part of the law expires next Monday. It's the section that allows the government to collect information, like texts and emails, for more than 300,000 foreigners without a warrant. Whether or not to renew the policy isn't split by party. There are Republicans and Democrats on both sides. Himes, who is the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, is in favor of keeping it. He says it's needed for national security. Opponents say it's an invasion of privacy, especially for American citizens who can get caught up when they're communicating with non-citizens. House Speaker Mike Johnson is hoping to pass an 18-month extension on the law. Himes wants a shorter-term extension and is open to future reform. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
A bill before the Connecticut General Assembly would give the state the power to limit homeschooling. That story is coming up. Town of Oyster Bay officials are recruiting volunteer firefighters in North Massapequa. They say volunteers are declining statewide. New York State has launched a campaign to recruit more volunteers. At least 100 protesters rallied in Holtsville over the weekend against a planned ICE detention center. ICE wants to build it at the site of the existing immigration office, which they previously used to house detainees. Brookhaven town officials have rejected the plans, but opponents say they worry ICE could get around that with a zoning change. A Griswold man has filed a federal lawsuit against Connecticut State Police. He says they arrested him for a DUI in 2024 in retaliation for a personal dispute. He says state police targeted him outside a local bar and arrested him improperly. New York State is offering some Mastic Beach homeowners a way out of their flood-prone neighborhood by buying their homes. According to News 12 Long Island, the area can flood with up to 2 feet of water at high tide. The state's Blue Buffers voluntary buyout program looks to return the area back to its natural wetlands, which act like a sponge, soaking up floodwaters and slowing shoreline erosion. Connecticut is considering stricter oversight on homeschooling in the wake of several high-profile cases of abuse and neglect, including the death of an 11-year-old girl in Waterbury. A bill before the General Assembly would give the State Department of Children and Families the power to limit homeschooling, and in one version could require homeschooling families to submit their work to schools for approval. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports families who homeschool are considering what the potential changes could mean.
At an 18-hour public hearing last month, dozens of homeschooled kids and their parents spoke on the bill. Among them, 10-year-old Beatrix Taylor. She's named after Beatrix Potter.
I just finished reading Oliver Twist. I'm starting to learn advanced algebra, and I've learned sailing this last year. I've been learning French since I was three. I read real books written by authors who care deeply about their subjects. I really like that. I've seen textbooks. I don't want them.
Beatrix and her family live on a small farm in Quaker Hill. Here's her mom, Courtney.
In 2022, we built the little farm stand. We've got a milk herd share here on our farm.
There are three milk cows and a bull. There are chickens.
We have a vegetable garden here. We grow all of our strawberries and as many of the vegetables we eat as we can.
Beatrix even gets to milk the cows sometimes.
I've never milked a cow. What is that like?
It's kind of fun. I guess you would describe it like you have to squeeze it.
Courtney says too often, public education is like large-scale factory farming. Factory farms see cows as products, not animals. And to optimize their production, they treat them all the same.
But on a small farm, I mean, you love them. And so it doesn't matter that they need help or, you know, they need a different nutrient blend or something. You have the capability to customize it for the cows. And I feel that's the same way with homeschooling. My eldest learned how to read very young. She's a very advanced reader, very adept at school, and she wanted to learn very young. So she was learning at four.
Now, her brother Louie is not progressing as quickly at reading.
But he can tell you just about every kind of frog that lives in our ponds and different ways to tie knots. And so we're focusing on that learning now.
Courtney used to be an art teacher. She says her district pressured her to focus less on art and more on things like math and science that would bring up test scores.
School funding was tied to the test scores. So that was... I didn't go into education to teach that. I went into education to teach art, to teach creativity, to because I really wanted kids to be able to explore and learn.
She remembered seeing kindergartners come into her art classes excited to learn and create.
And little by little, because I feel like I got this unique perspective because I was K to 12, you saw as the years went on, the love and the joy for just school in general or learning died. And it was like, I'm just checking the boxes that I have to do to survive. And so we did not want that for our kids.
They use a curriculum based on the work of the British educator Charlotte Mason,
which is about living books, namely books that are written by authors that are heavily invested or first source type writings.
There were few textbooks, and Beatrix is fine with that.
Well, I had one textbook, and it was about anatomy, and it just was so different and not really real.
They're written by a group of people that have to cater to the majority voice. It's not by one author who has made it their life's work.
Last year, the New York Times reported many kids rarely read entire books in public schools anymore, but books are a big part of Beatrice's life.
Well, I usually wake up around like 7:30, sometimes 7.
Sure.
And then I start school like 8, and I get to pick which readings I do, because I read like for history and literature, and so I usually read a book, then I do math, and then I read another book, and then I practice my handwriting, and then I read another book, and then I read a poem.
The homeschooling bill, in its current form, would give the Department of Children and Families more oversight on homeschooling, intending to prevent cases like the death of 11-year-old Mimi Torres Garcia last October. Families would also have to prove they're giving kids the same level of education as public schools.
As it stands right now, annually we'd have to show up at the district and say that we're homeschooling, and we would have to prove that we are providing equivalent instruction. And that's my biggest hang-up, because who's to define what equivalent instruction is?
But that side of things has been a sticking point. Lawmakers said this week they'll revisit the bill and may remove parts, like a requirement students submit a portfolio or other demonstration of their work. Here's House Speaker Matt Ritter.
I think the concern was it's a subjective standard, so who's reviewing it, right? And honestly, you could just print something from a computer and hand it in. And the committee acknowledged that.
Ritter says it's important the state prevent cases like Torres Garcia's, though.
We now have a situation where we've had 3 kids withdrawn from school, 2 who were brutally either led to their death or close to death, and a 3rd one, it appears, committed suicide based upon a terrible thing in Enfield. We understand it's a small portion of it, but we're trying to, how do we stop that?
Now, Connecticut's push comes at a time when other New England states are moving in the other direction. New Hampshire last month passed a new law loosening homeschooling regulations on the same day Beatrix spoke at the Capitol. Courtney says Beatrix used to be shy, but she's learned to speak out in public more, thanks in part to some acting experience in a production of The Tortoise and the Hare last year.
She's nothing like a braggadocious hare. And so the fact that this very smiley, friendly girl had to pretend to be this braggart, she grew so much. And it was because of that that she was like, yes, okay, I want to speak.
But Beatrix says it still took a lot of bravery to testify at the Capitol.
What does being brave mean to you? What does it mean to be brave?
I guess it means to be like, I don't know. What it means to be brave.
Does it mean choosing what is easy?
No.
What is it?
The opposite of choosing what is easy. I guess it means choosing something that is hard.
But why? Just because it's hard?
No, because you're trying to be brave.
Or trying to do what's right.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. You have to do what's right, even when it's terribly frightening.
Quite terribly frightening.
It's unclear, as of now, what the bill's final form will look like. But Courtney and Beatrix are both watching carefully. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
For For the news you trust and music you love, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the free WSHU app. And for even more from this station, join us over on Instagram. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. Looking forward to connecting with you on there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll speak tomorrow.